This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can always follow along on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live as we get you ready for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up here on Wednesday night, as the Florida Panthers will have a rematch against the Edmonton Oilers. This time, Edmonton having home ice, though, and the Oilers are a 130 favorite, minus 130 favorite in game number one, a minus 120 favorite for the series. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, my conversation with Panthers analyst and former NHL player Bill Lindsley. We'll get his thoughts on this series, on the Florida Panthers, and on who could potentially win the Conn Smythe Award for the postseason MVP. That's a reminder I have to give the audience every now and then. It's not just the finals MVP. It's who's the most valuable player throughout the entirety of the playoffs. So don't just look at what a player is doing in this series. Look at what they're doing over the course, or what they have done over the course of the entire postseason. Something that you have to keep in the back of your minds when you are placing these Conn Smythe bets. But of course, narrative comes into play, storyline comes into play, and no one's got a better storyline than, of course, Connor McDavid. The synergy that I tweeted out last week, which you guys can follow me at ScottsOnAir, Wayne Gretzky lost his first trip to the Stanley Cup Final against the New York Islanders, and then the next year beat the New York Islanders in a rematch to capture his first cup title. Sidney Crosby lost his first trip to the Stanley Cup Final against the Detroit Red Wings and then won his first cup in a rematch the very next year against the Red Wings. And McDavid lost his first trip to the final last year against the Panthers, has a chance to win his first cup in a rematch this year against Florida. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. It's incredible the synergy that we could have between the generational talents in this sport, going from Gretzky to Crosby to McDavid. So I get it. Connor's the favorite. The storylines are there. He won it last year in a losing effort. Will the writers vote for him to win it this year if Edmonton wins the Stanley Cup? It's hard to say no, unless someone else outshines him. The play that I'm giving out is Leon Draisaitl at plus 750. If we look at the entirety of this Stanley Cup playoffs, McDavid leads all skaters with 26 points. Draisaitl, one fewer at 25. Draisaitl has one more goal, two less assists. And if we look at the series markets here, and when I talk about the series markets, I'm talking about the series prop markets. The player to have the most goals in this series, the favorite is Leon Draisaitl at plus 275. Connor McDavid's the second favorite at plus 500. So the market believes, or at least the market is pricing it as such, that Leon Draisaitl will score the most goals in the Stanley Cup Final. So if he scores the most goals in the Stanley Cup Final, he's going to have a leg up on McDavid as far as the most points of all skaters throughout these Stanley Cup playoffs. And it's going to be hard to say that Draisaitl is not the MVP if the Oilers go on to win, if he winds up leading the series in goals. He already has more goals than McDavid. He's got one less point than McDavid. So how could the voters, unless McDavid really is that incredible as far as the assists and he's setting everybody up like he did last year, How do you not vote for a guy who leads the team in points or leads all skaters in points and has the most goals in the series? So I just think the value's there. I understand the reasons why McDavid's the favorite. He's the overwhelming favorite. I get it. But the value to me is on Draisaitl at plus 750. From a Panthers perspective, the bet for me would be Sergei Bobrovsky at plus 250. It's a bet I already have in pocket. And if the Panthers win, it's because of Sergei Bobrovsky. He's been great this entire postseason. The shutouts are there. If they win this series, it's because Bob has limited the scoring of the Edmonton Oilers. Because one thing that Edmonton has shown throughout the entirety of this postseason is that they're never out of any game. And so if we believe that Florida limits the scoring, well, then naturally Bobrovsky's going to be the Conn Smythe winner. He's going to be the reason why the Panthers win the cup final. I think Barkov can make an argument, or voters can make an argument for Barkov, if his defense on Connor McDavid is a big reason why the Panthers win the cup. So if McDavid doesn't score, because Barkov's doing an incredible job defending him every time he's on the ice, getting him away from the front of the net, making sure that he gets the puck out of his hands in non-dangerous situations. And keep in mind, Barkov is the best defensive forward in hockey. He just won the Selke Trophy, the award given out to the best defensive forward in hockey. If he's able to contain McDavid when he's on the ice, well, that could go a long way into naming him as the Conn Smythe winner. The only issue I have there is that they're only going to be able, the Florida Panthers, when I say they, the Florida Panthers are only going to be able to ensure that they can have the matchup that they want in games 3 and 4. Remember, the home team has the last change. So in games 1 and 2, you know, Chris Knobloch can make sure that if Barkov's on the ice, McDavid's line is not. You know, and I'm not sure, I'm not saying he's going to do that, but he has the option to do that. He can stagger his lines accordingly because the home team has the last change. So something to keep in, you know, keep in the back of your minds if that's the way you're kind of looking at a possibility of Barkov winning the Conn Smythe because of the narrative of him shutting down McDavid. To me, it's Bobrovsky or no one for the Panthers. I get the idea. It's fun to have these long shots in pocket, to look at a guy like Brad Marchand or, you know, a Sam Bennett, 30-1, 50-1. Those, it's all fun and games. I get it. The reality is, when it comes to these voted on awards, you got to put yourself in the mindset of these voters. And it's not all about, oh, well, somebody had, you know, a hat trick in the series, so naturally they're the MVP of the series. No, it's the MVP of the entire playoffs. And so you have to look at the entire journey for the Florida Panthers to get to the Stanley Cup final and then win the Stanley Cup final. And then think about the, from a voter's perspective, they've had a lot of different guys do the scoring in these playoffs. Sam Bennett's their leading scorer with 10 goals in these playoffs. But then you have Barkov, Verhaeghe with 6. Kachuk's got five. Anton Lundell's got 5. Brad Marchand's got 4. Luis Dorainen's got 4. Reinhardt's got 4. The wealth has been spread around between the skaters. Assists. Barkov and Kachuk have 11. Marchand and Rodriguez have 10. Luis Dorainen, Reinhardt have 9. It's all spread around. But the one constant has been the performance of Sergei Bobrovsky, 12-5 in this postseason with a 2.11 goals against average. He's been incredible. And if we just look through the games that, you know, we've seen, he's had 3 shutouts already in this postseason. If the Panthers win the cup, it's hard for me to see anybody else but Sergei Bobrovsky winning the Conn Smythe. So my bet for the Panthers is +250 on Sergei Bobrovsky. My bet for the Oilers would be to take a long shot on the +750 on Leon Draisaitl, because I had no interest in laying the juice here with Connor McDavid to win it as the favorite. But as far as the series is concerned, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, I have a hard time betting against the Oilers. If we go back through the last 17 Stanley Cup finals, game 1, home teams, 13-4 straight up. 13-4 straight up, the last 17 game 1s, the home teams, 13 wins, 4 losses. In the last 13 years, the favorite in the Stanley Cup final, the series favorite, is 11-2. The series favorite has won 5 years in a row, and the Oilers are a small series favorite here. I think the Oilers win game one, and I think the Oilers go on to win this series in what should be a long series, 7 games most likely. I also think the total is interesting in this game, number one, because, man, if we look at the 6.5s, that's extremely rare. We've only seen it happen 3 times in the Stanley Cup final going back through, last time it happened is 2013. 3 games in 2013, all 3 of them went under. But it's very rare that we have totals of 6.5 in a Stanley Cup final. The last 9 Stanley Cup final games were lined at 5.5. But we know these are high-scoring teams. We know what both these teams, especially the Edmonton Oilers, are capable of. So for me, I lean towards the under. If I had to make a play, it would be on the under. But I think I'm more comfortable going with the Edmonton Oilers to win in game number 1. Just because of how strong the game 1 home trends are. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Rafael Esparza, handicapper at Doc Sports. He will give us his take on game 1 of the NBA Finals. Plus, take a look at the Wednesday slate of Major League Baseball games. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. And joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line as we get into the Wednesday slate of Major League Baseball games from Doc Sports, he is Rafael Esparza, handicapper over there. Rafael, thanks so much for joining us here on Cashing Out here on VSiN. Before we get into the Wednesday baseball, I got to get your thoughts on the NBA Finals. We get underway on Thursday night in Oklahoma City. The Thunder, under historic favorites, 9-point favorites in game number 1, upwards of minus 700 for the series. How do you see this one playing out, and any plays for game number 1 in particular?
Yeah, I'm shocked that so much Pacer money has come in on this series price. You said it was as high as 750. A couple of Vegas books open up now. It's close to $6 over at South Point. So Pacer money coming in. I don't understand this. I just think the defense of OKC is going to be the reason why we see maybe a gentleman sweep. I like the gentleman sweep 4-1 at $2 on this one. But for game 1, I think we're going to see some rust from both teams. I'll take the Pacers plus the points. I don't know if we're going to see 10. I say grab the 9.5 now, but I think OKC wins, but I don't see them covering.
Any feel for the total? This is a high total when we consider NBA Finals. We don't usually see totals this high. 231 for an NBA Finals game is just an all-time high here, Rafael.
Yeah, we opened it up at 229.5 and it got moved to 2 points. And I think it moves probably another half a point to maybe a full point, because don't forget, this game is Thursday. We still have another 24 hours. I'm looking for the under in this game. I'm waiting for Joe Public to maybe push this up to 232 so I can bet the under. But I think the series will see a lot of points, just maybe not game 1.
Yeah, and you're right. Maybe more money comes in as we get closer and closer to tip off of game number 1. More money could come in on this over because the public loves betting the overs. All right, Rafael, let's get to this Wednesday slate of Major League Baseball games where we have a rare situation on our hands. The Colorado Rockies are going for a sweep. That's right. The Rockies won the first 2 games against the Marlins, and they will look for the sweep here on Wednesday. An early start, noon Eastern time there in Miami. Cal Quantrill for the home team, the former Rocky, and Kyle Freeland for the Rockies. What do you like in this matchup here?
This is so funny because I do a weekly show on Amazon Prime and YouTube TV, and I call this Kyle Freeland Day because we fade Kyle Freeland every time he's playing, and I don't care that the Rockies are going for a sweep. I am blown away that I can get minus 137 on Miami with Kyle Freeland on the mound for Colorado. So, yes, congratulations. You won a series. You haven't won one since last year. Congrats, Colorado. But I'll take Miami this one just because of Kyle Freeland and only laying minus 137. And you get plus 155 on the run line for Miami just because, again, tomorrow is Kyle Freeland Day.
That's right. 0-8 on the season. And the only they've only won one game the Rockies have when Freeland was the starter. And that's because they scored two runs in the eighth inning in a game to win late. So you're right. Kyle Freeland Day has become a good fade spot. But then again, all Rockies games are a good fade spot. I do think it might sound square, but I'm not. This team's not winning three straight games, so I got to be on the Miami Marlins in this one. Where else are you looking here on the schedule for some value plays on the Major League Baseball board? You know, one area that I look at is the Pittsburgh Pirates offense continues to be so anemic. You know, Paul Skenes goes out there on Tuesday night, throws eight innings of one-run ball, gives up a solo home run in the seventh inning. That's it. And the Pirates still lose that game. And now I have the Astros as a short road favorite once again against this Pirates team that can't seem to put anything together offensively. I can only bet against Pittsburgh.
I agree. And now you tell me I can only lay three nickels on the under at a total that's nine against a Pirates offense. I was thinking we were going to see 8.5, maybe juice at maybe minus 120 on the under, but getting nine, laying the three nickels, I'm confused on that one because you just nailed it. The Pirates offense is awful right now. And then I would see if maybe wait to see if we can get some Houston money or a Pirate money to come in, maybe get a better number on the Houston. On this one, it is a 6:40 Eastern Standard Time. I don't like that minus 136. I would like to see maybe minus 132 or lower.
The Red Sox are looking to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Angels. Alex Cora is upset. His team is not turning the corner. I was high on the Red Sox before the year. I have a bet on the Red Sox to make the playoffs. I sprinkled in a little bit on the Red Sox to win the division. Now, that's not going to happen. But you know, listen, we do have an expanded playoffs, so maybe they can go on a run here. But clearly, without Alex Bregman, this offense is not the same. Boston, a minus 130 favorite at home here against the Angels. What do you like in this one?
I sprinkled Red Sox team total team wins over. So I'm with you on that one, sprinkling, and we're not getting anything sprinkled back probably our way. I like the way this Angels has been playing the offense with Trout coming back. Man, he hit a home run yesterday. Still don't think it landed in Boston. But yeah, if there's negativity and smoke in a locker room, that usually means there's fire in a locker room. And can you say maybe the Red Sox could be sellers maybe next month? Because the way they've been playing, I would not be shocked. They might want to trade some of those pieces to get some younger guys back in.
I didn't think that was going to be the case. I thought for sure this team would be buyers and adding to what was already a good roster to start the season. As we're talking to Rafael Esparza, handicapper over at Doc Sports, I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's cashing out here on VSiN. Rafael joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. The Yankees win against the Guardians on Tuesday night, but it was the full Devin Williams experience, right? Luke Weaver, the closer, Yankee closer, is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Devin Williams gets an opportunity to reclaim the closing job. He gives up a run in the ninth. He still gets the save, so the Yankees get the win, but there's no way you can be comfortable betting the Yankees knowing that they don't have a bona fide closer at the back end of their bullpen.
How bad is this division when I thought it was going to be really good? We already mentioned the Red Sox. We all thought them, and then Baltimore, they stink. The Yankees didn't look good in Dodger Stadium, and now they lose their closer. And you nailed the new closer that maybe thought was going to keep his job, gives up a run. So what's his confidence maybe if they bring him out again tomorrow? Granted, yeah, you got the save, but you didn't look good getting that save. I want nothing to do that. That price at one minus 170, I want nothing to do with that. Well, maybe I'll sit back and maybe live bet it and get a better number, but minus 177 with a bullpen that has question marks, I don't like that number.
Dodgers and Mets in the National League Championship Series rematch. Both games one and two of this series go into extra innings where the Mets win game number one. Dodgers win in a walk-off here on Tuesday night. Now, the rubber game will feature Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers and Griffin Canning for the Mets. What's your handicap on this matchup?
Well, I'm not sweating right now because I'm on air. I'm sweating because I had the over at 9.5 at plus money on this game before we came on the air, and I got the miracle cover at 6-5. So I think we're going to see runs. I mean, the Dodgers at home, they produce runs. I think their last 19 games at home, 15 have gone over. So Anytime you have Ohtani leading off and then you have Betts coming back, I look at the over before I even look at the Dodgers or their opponents' prices, because right now their just offense is clicking. They score 6 runs again today at home. So I'm looking for a total, even though I don't care who's pitching on both sides. The Dodger bats will produce runs.
Well, speaking of overs, we had another game in Sacramento and another over for the A's and the Twins. It was the Twins, a 10-3 win in game 2 of the series. The A's got that 10-4 win in game number 1. Do we continue to just hammer the overs here in Sacramento? It's the best over ballpark in baseball at 20-10 now to the over.
You want to call that a ballpark? I call it a little league field. the way the ball flies out of there. But yes, I don't care that the total's 10. I'm going to continue just like I don't want to be called a homer here. But anytime I can get a Cubs at 9 or under, I'm going to bet them over. So yes, there's two teams I look at: Cubs overs and the Sacramento A's overs. So I continue to pile them.
So would you play the Cubs over here against the Nationals and Mackenzie Gore on the bump?
Yeah, I mean, their offense is still clicking, and there's no Kyle Tucker that's out with a finger. Granted, he's not on the IL, but he's going to be out tomorrow's game as well. And they're still producing runs because PCA, he's taking walks now and stealing second like there's no tomorrow. I say take the over at 8.5 again.
You know, speaking of PCA, he's a guy I keep looking for the winner without markets, you know, because we know who the MVPs are going to be. We know it's Aaron Judge is going to be the American League MVP. We know Ohtani is going to be the National League MVP. But in the winner without markets, so you can bet on basically who's going to finish second in the voting, I want to bet PCA to finish second in the National League MVP voting. He's had an MVP season for the Cubs right now.
Yeah, and we know they talk about his offense, but we should be talking about his defense because he's going to get a gold glove too in center field because he plays phenomenal defense. But yeah, I feel bad for the kid because he can have 60 homers and 60 steals, and Ohtani will still have a landslide of winning the MVP.
What's amazing is Ohtani still hasn't pitched yet. I mean,
I know. I just shake my head. It's not fair. It's just not fair.
Once this guy steps on the mound, it's over. He's the MVP already without even stepping foot on the mound this year. Rafael, great conversation. Appreciate the time. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the games coming up.
Thank you for having me, and have a great evening.
There he is, Rafael Esparza. Check him out, Doc Sports. He's on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports as he joined us there on the Progressive Guest Line, breaking down the Major League Baseball slate for Wednesday. Yeah, you know, you look at that winner without market. To me, that's how we have to play it if we can get the MVP second place. So whoever finished second in the voting in the National League, I do like Pete Crow Armstrong. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Stanley Cup Final preview for Game 1 here on Wednesday night. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. The Stanley Cup Final will begin tomorrow, Wednesday night in Edmonton, a rematch between the Oilers and the Panthers, where the Panthers will look to become back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. But something interesting that we see in the market here, the Edmonton Oilers are the favorite in this Stanley Cup Final. And this is actually, and shout out to our friend Evan Abrams, the Action Network, for pointing it out. This is the first time in the last 40 years in any of the four major sports, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, or NFL, where we have a rematch of a championship series where the team that won the title last year is an underdog in this rematch. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line to talk more about the Florida Panthers and the Stanley Cup Final is former NHL player Bill Lindsley, current analyst for the Florida Panthers. Bill, what do you make of that? The Panthers win the Cup last year, and now they're dogs to this same Edmonton Oilers team.
40 years. That's a long time.
Yep.
To get back at it. That's okay with us. We were underdogs a couple of years ago when we got to the Cup Finals against Las Vegas and ended up losing last year. It was a tremendous final against Edmonton, but they have the best player in the world, Connor McDavid. Who's going to bet against the best player in the world twice? that's a tough look. It's like Michael Jordan, those same type of people, Tom Brady. They expect the superstars to rise to the occasion and be the best. Hockey's a team sport. Panthers have one of the best teams. If you look throughout the depth of the lineup, consistency, goaltending, there is a lot that goes into this series. Not sure how the bettors figure everything out, but both teams are very competent. It's going to come down to a bounce here or there. It's going to be that close, and the margin for error is extremely thin. I guess that's the way it probably should be on the betting line.
Absolutely, and it is a very closely favorite lined series, as the Oilers are just a small minus 120 favorite because they have home ice, I would assume, is the only reason why. Mm-hmm. Because we know that they're favored in game number one in Edmonton. They'll likely be favored again in game two, and Florida should be a heavier favorite when the series shifts to Sunrise for games three and four. Last year was a phenomenal series, okay? Florida wins the first three games, but then Edmonton claws all the way back and forces a game number seven. What lessons can be learned from last year's final that the Panthers can take into this year's series?
You can't let up for one moment. There's too much star talent on that other side. We were able to control McDavid, Draisaitl the first three games, and then they got loose. We couldn't even control them. The horse was out of the barn. They're that explosive, the Edmonton Oilers, and once they got rolling, that speed game became really hard to stop. And the Panthers really pride themselves on a heavy forecheck and controlling speed through the middle of the ice. They did that through the first three games. Then Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, the rest of the boys started to do their thing. And maybe probably a big reason the betting favorite on this series is a little bit deeper Edmonton lineup. I feel the Panthers lineup with Marchand and Jones on the blue line is also deeper. This is probably like last year's playoffs, just with a little bit extra juice and a little extra jump on both sides. Should be a tremendous series, but we'll see how it shakes out for it. But the lessons learned is, anytime you're facing one of the league's best players and they have talent like that, if you got a chance to nail it down, you better take it.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at this roster, you mentioned a key name there, Brad Marchand. What difference has he made to this dressing room and this team as a whole?
He's the leader, captain of an original six team, longtime Boston Bruin, comes here to Florida, but it's a round peg into a round hole. We got a lot of players, Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk, go throughout our lineup that like to play that mean, nasty, hard style, and Brad Marchand fits that bill to a T. So he comes in here, it's been a seamless fit, and that's a credit to our general manager and then our coach making it work onto the ice. But Brad Marchand is a ball of energy. Once you meet him off the ice, he's very, very easy to like. He's got a personality in spades. He's running up and down, 37 years old. I saw him in that. He's a little late for a bus in dress clothes. He just said, "Old man, coming through, get out of the way." He's enjoying every moment of it. And it's been especially prominent on his line mates, Lundell and Luo Storina, and really good defensively. But he's imploring them to get better offensively. Guys, let's push. We know we can take care of the defensive end of the puck. We have to push, do things on our stick. And because of that, Lundell, Luo Storina, and Marchand has become one of the most effective lines that we have and one of the hardest lines for the opponents to match up against. Our top two lines are already really good, but that line has outscored opponents 10-2 at even strength throughout the course of these playoffs. And they have been a real big separator for him. So Marchand, with his leadership abilities fitting into that room, you just can't see enough what he brings to a team.
How are the Panthers doing health-wise? I know a couple of days off here is going to help, obviously, get guys back to as close. No one's 100% now. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. But yeah. How healthy are they? We know Mikkola missed the game. We know Reinhart missed a couple of games and then returned. How are the Panthers health-wise going into this game number one?
Good to go. Full tilt. They're ready. A.J. Greer, a fourth-line guy, is maybe one question mark. But he'll be a game-time decision tomorrow. We got options on our fourth line. We got a lot of options up front, but both teams are healthier than last year. Outside of Zach Hyman, who's going to be missing for the Edmonton Oilers, both these teams came in with this break. You've had 4 days for the Oilers, 5 days for the Panthers. Leon Draisaitl was a little nicked up in last year's playoff series. As you touched on, no one's completely healthy. You're about as healthy as you can get on both sides to start this series. It probably won't end up at the end that way. This is going to probably be pretty vicious between these two teams. There's going to be a lot of bumps. But when you get set out, with the day's rest and what the way that it's slated for this Stanley Cup playoffs and the days that we've had to get ready for it, every game should be a humdinger. It should be full throttle, pedal to the metal, all you got. It should not be one team, okay, we're a little bit tired on this end. No, that should be no excuse for either of these groups, and that's why I'm looking forward to it. These are the two best teams in the NHL, and they're going at it healthy, rested. It sets up for what you'd expect. One extraordinary final.
Talking to former NHL player Bill Lindsley, currently an analyst for the Florida Panthers, as well as the NHL Network. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. As far as the Conn Smythe Trophy is concerned, last year McDavid won it in a losing effort, and he deserved it. I'm not going to argue that. He deserved it, absolutely. It's because it's the MVP of the entire playoffs, not just the Stanley Cup final. He broke Gretzky's assist record. We know about the legacy there for Connor McDavid. If the Panthers win the cup again this year, who's going to be the reason? Is it as simple as saying Sergei Bobrovsky, or is there a player out there, a skater out there that you believe is going to have to perform at the highest level and get the nod as the Conn Smythe winner?
Sergei Bobrovsky, he's going to have to put on a show. He's going against one of the most talented offenses, so that is going to stand out. He's going to be extremely important to this group. Our depth and scoring has been rounded out. If you look at our top goal scorer, point getter, that is going to be Barkov. He's going to be Selke Trophy winner this year, just announced best defensive forward in the league, matched up against McDavid. Can he shut him down? If he does, puts up points, then there's a chance to reckon that you could go that way with Alexander Barkov. Bennett has 10 goals on our team, but our team is just too balanced up front. When you look at it, if I had to pick a Conn Smythe winner out of this hat right at the moment, probably lean towards Bobrovsky even more heavily so going into a series against a very, very talented Edmonton team.
Final thing, Bill, we got about 2 minutes left here. Is this much ado about nothing? The whole Paul Maurice coaches shouldn't be in the handshake line, Rod Brind'Amour coming out now and saying that he was caught by surprise. Is this really a non-story? Because I actually liked what Paul Maurice had to say after the game about it.
Yeah, Paul Maurice has a different view. He's been in the league for 27 years, and he said at the time he started that the coaches didn't get involved in the handshake line, and he kind of wants to go back to that. Had an agreement in round number two against Toronto with Craig Berube. He said, if we win or lose or whatever, we'll shake hands and we'll let the players on the ice that fought it out shake. Rod Brind'Amour had a different take on that, and to each is their own. I don't think it's that kind of big a deal. If the other coach, even if Rod Brind'Amour disagreed with it, if he wants to jump in the handshake line, fine. He doesn't have to agree with Maurice on that part of it. Maurice can stay out, shake Rod Brind'Amour's coach or Rod Brind'Amour's hand, whoever the coach is on the other side. And if the other coach wants to join in the party and handshake line, albeit, and Paul Maurice has said his piece and each can go their separate ways. I just don't read too much into that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Paul Maurice, though. Like I said, I loved what he had to say about letting the players have their moment. So that's kind of where I lean. So I'm on your side, Bill, and I'm on Paul Maurice's side. Former NHL player, current analyst for the Panthers, Bill Lindsley, appreciate the time. Say hi to Goldie for me, all right?
Yeah, I'll say hi to Goldie. Knows everyone, of course, Scott.
We've all worked with each other some way or another. You know, it's a very incestuous business. Take care, Bill.
All right, thank you very much. Enjoy the series.
There he is, former Florida, played for the Florida Panthers, played for the Quebec Nordiques as well. Bill Lindsley joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line on Cashing Out, previewing the Stanley Cup Final. I'll reiterate my pick for the Conn Smythe, plus some stats and trends you don't want to miss when it comes to Game 1 here of the Stanley Cup Final. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Seidenberg back here with you, Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we turn our attention to the best bets. And before we get to that, I want to give you some stats I promised about Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Well, here we are. Edmonton Oilers hosting the Florida Panthers. And going back the last 17 years, the home teams in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final are 13-4 straight up. 13 wins, 4 losses in the last 17 Stanley Cup final games in game number 1. And we just look at the favorites in general. Shout out to our buddy Evan Abrams at the Action Network. 11-2 the last 13 years. The favorites in the series going on to win the Stanley Cup final. 11-2. And the Oilers are a slight favorite in this series at minus 120. Couple of ways I'm looking to play this. My Conn Smythe Award picks for the Panthers. It is Sergei Bobrovsky at plus 250. I think that if the Panthers win the cup, he's the guy that wins the award. I think there are small arguments to be made for other players, but they don't even come close to Bobrovsky. Because if Bob is not good enough, the Panthers don't win the series. If Bob is good enough, the Panthers win the series, and he will be the Conn Smythe Award winner. So he's the favorite from a Panthers perspective at plus 250. I'd rather take a shot on the plus 250 on Bobrovsky to be the Conn Smythe than bet the Panthers on the series price to win the series at like plus 110 odds. Because I think it's that solidified that it would be Bobrovsky that gets the Conn Smythe nod should the Panthers win. Because I don't see the Panthers winning another way. I don't see the Panthers winning if every game is a 5-4 game. I just don't. I think the higher scoring the games are, the more it favors the Edmonton Oilers, which are the better scoring team. And yes, Zach Hyman's out. I understand that hurts them, but they still have McDavid. They still have Draisaitl. They still have Bouchard. They still have Kane. They still have Nugent Hopkins. They have so many scoring options that I think that if it's a higher scoring series, it goes in favor of the Edmonton Oilers. So for me, if the Panthers win this series, it's because of Bobrovsky. I like him at plus 250. For the Oilers, we know McDavid's the favorite. I get it. I understand all the reasons. I'm not going to argue any of those reasons. But I will say, at plus 750 odds, Leon Draisaitl to win the Conn Smythe is incredible value. Draisaitl is the favorite to win, or the favorite to have the most goals in this series. And if we look at what we're seeing in the as far as the stats for the entire postseason so far to right now, Connor McDavid leads all skaters with 26 points. Leon Draisaitl's 1 point back. He's got 25. He's got one more goal than McDavid and 2 less assists. So if he winds up leading the series in goals, he outplays McDavid in the series. He's got enough body of work built up throughout the entirety of this playoff run that Leon Draisaitl plus 750, I think, is great odds for him to win the Conn Smythe Award. So that would be a bet I would place for the Edmonton Oilers. As far as game one is concerned, I'm on the Oilers. The home team trend is too much for me. 13-4 in the last 17 finals. I think the Oilers win game one on home ice. Now, you could play the Oilers minus 130 on the money line. But something that our very own Jonathan Davis up on VSiN.com has been a big proponent of has been playing both teams on the puck lines. -1.5 both ways. You get the alternate puck line with the underdog at a heavily juiced price. You get the favorite on a plus money price on the -1.5. Because the majority of these games in the Stanley Cup playoffs have been decided by 2 or more goals. And how about this? In games where the favorite has won, and so I like the favorite, I like the Edmonton Oilers tonight. In games where the favorite has won in these Stanley Cup playoffs, 50 games have been won by the favorites. 35 of them have covered the puck line. That's 70%. So if you like the favorites, lay the -1.5 because they are hitting that at 70%. If all you did was bet the favorites at -1.5 when they win the games, because yes, we've had favorites that have lost, but when the favorites have won the games, they are covering -1.5 70% of the time, 35 times. You are up 38 units. On a $100 better, you're up $3,873. But here's what's crazy. Of those 35 wins that have covered the -1.5 puck line, 24 of them have actually covered an alternate puck line of -2.5. That's right. We have had 24 games out of the 50 wins for the favorites. 24 of those favorites have actually won by three or more goals. Right now, you can get the Edmonton Oilers at minus a goal and a half at plus 180. You can get the Oilers minus 2.5 at plus 300. I'd sprinkle on both here in game number one. Now, could this wind up being a much more even series? And could this series revert back to one-goal games as opposed to the blowouts that we've seen throughout the entirety of this Stanley Cup playoffs? Yeah, very well. And I do expect this to be a much more competitive series. I think this series can go seven, just like it did last year. And in that series last year, let's look at the results. 3-0 win by the Panthers in game number one. Covers the minus a goal and a half. Covers the minus 2.5. 4-1 win for the Panthers in game number two. Covers the minus 1.5. Covers the minus 2.5. Then they go on the road. They win 4-3. Underdog wins 4-3. Then they're on the road again in game four. They lose 8-1, the Panthers. So the home favorite in the Oilers covers the 1.5. And they cover the 2.5. Then game number five, back in Florida. Oilers win 5-3, so they cover the alternate puck line of minus 1.5. Then back in Edmonton for game number six, Oilers win 5-1. They cover minus 1.5 as the favorite. They cover minus 2.5 on the alternate line. And then game number seven, back in Florida, Panthers win 2-1. We only had 2 one-goal games in the seven games. So think of the profit that you made by betting the minus 1.5s and the minus 2.5s in last year's Stanley Cup final. So I'm on the Oilers tonight in game number one. Home team's incredible trends here. We saw the Panthers win at home 3-0. I like the under as well because at 6.5, and I know that these are high scoring teams, and we had a high scoring series last year. I just read you the scores. But 6.5 is very rare for a Stanley Cup final game. It's only happened 3 times since 2013. 2013, we had 3 games that were 6.5, and all 3 of them went under. The majority of Stanley Cup final games are lined at 5.5. There's been 8 in that span that have been 6s, and I think this could go to 6. But even those games that are at 6, they're 5-3 to the under. This total is at 6.5. It is minus 125 to the under. I like the under 6.5. So I'm on the Oilers. I'm on the under. And play the alternate puck lines. The minus 1.5s. The minus 2.5s. Because they're coming through more times than not. And you are making a very nice chunk of change. Over in Major League Baseball, we have day games, including the Miami Marlins looking to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Colorado Rockies. I'm betting the Marlins to avoid the sweep. Marlins are minus 155 at home to avoid the sweep. Cal Quantrill gets the start for them. Kyle Freeland goes for the Rockies. You can get plus 145 on the Marlins, minus 1.5 runs. That's the way I'm going to play it because I'm going to play both. I'm going to play the money line, and I'm going to put a little bit on the run line as well because of all the losses for the Rockies this year, only a small handful of them. Out of the 50 losses, we've had all but maybe 10 are by, one run or by more than one run. So fade the Rockies on the run line. I don't think the Rockies get a 3-game sweep. Those are the best bets, which are brought to you by G-Bank, introducing the $500 trifecta from G-Bank First Bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open up a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSIN will complete the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st. Head to vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. This one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. That's vsin.com/gbank. Don't forget, you can start your morning with VSIN by the Book featuring Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. Then a numbers game coming up at 10 a.m. Eastern Time with Matt Brown. Then stick around for Money Moves at noon Eastern Time. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.